Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Flash right now.
From the 105.7 FM, the Fan Sports Update Studio, I'm Ryan Horvath. First on the Fan, in the world of entertainment, Carl Reiner has passed away at age 98. Reiner, a producer, also a director and an actor, also a Grammy winner, won 9 Emmys in over 7 decades, has more than 400 credits. Again, passes away today. Washington Nationals first baseman Ryan Zimmerman, pitcher Joe Ross, opted out of the 2020 season delayed by the coronavirus pandemic. The team released a statement saying they were doing it for the personal health and safety of themselves and their loved ones. Also to the world of the National Basketball Association, aka the NBA, Brooklyn Nets center DeAndre Jordan has ruled himself out of the season's resumption in Orlando, Florida, after testing positive for the coronavirus. Los Angeles Lakers planning to sign free agent guard J.R. Smith and submit his name as part of the franchise's roster for the restart in Orlando. Smith and the Lakers have been discussing a deal since starting guard Avery Bradley opted out of the season restart just last week. Smith and the Lakers working through the final details of a contract right now. 34 years old, hasn't played an NBA game since November 2018 with the Cavs. Read more online, 1057fmthefan.com. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere, download the radio.com app, and favorite The Fan. Today we're talking Major League Baseball, little NBA, all that fun stuff coming up. It's a commercial-free hour to end the show of the Bart Winkler Morning Show here on The Fan.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. And you guys, 414-799-1250. Kyle Glazer with Baseball America to join us in just a couple of minutes. Corey St. Francis joins us now, 414-799-1250. Corey, what's happening with you? Good morning.
Hey, Bart, it's my birthday.
Well, happy birthday. What can I do to make it special for you besides the generic happy birthday?
Well, I'd like you to keep an open mind, and I want to compare Luis Urias to Christian Yelich.
Okay.
As both great steals for David Stearns. And if you look at Yelly's numbers in Miami, where he was in a big park, and Urias in San Diego, big park with the Padres, not very good. But move Yelly to Miller Park or American Family Field or whatever, he's an MVP candidate. So even if Urias isn't an MVP, I think him going to Miller Park could really boost his hitting stats because he's always shown a good eye and gotten walks and gotten on base and always been young for the competition he's played against. So I wouldn't be surprised if him and Hira combined for a really good infield for the next 5 years or so.
I will agree with you 100% as it is your birthday, and you deserve that as such. So, you're Luis Urias, the next MVP candidate for the Brewers.
No, I'm not saying he's an MVP candidate. I'm just saying he's a great steal for David Stearns.
What else are you doing on your birthday? It's too bad you don't have a game to watch. It's probably the first time ever.
No, just going to work.
Fun.
Nothing exciting.
Well, thanks for calling in. Happy birthday to you. I hope that this is not the most exciting part of your day.
No, just, hey, keep working on your stand-up, okay?
All right, Corey. Thanks, okay, buddy. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. All right, let's talk to Kyle Glazer. Kyle, good morning, Baseball America. I'm Bart Winkler, Bart Winkler Show, yada, yada. How are you today?
Doing all right, doing all right. Your previous caller made me chuckle. Luis Urias was a prospect I jumped on pretty early when he was in the Padres system, and I agree. He has a chance to be a good player in Milwaukee, although shortstop is not the position he's really best suited for. He's more of a second baseman, but the guy can hit, and figuring out, you know, him and Hira in the lineup together. But those could be two very good young hitters the Brewers could definitely build around here over the next couple years.
And you're not just saying it because it was his birthday, the caller's birthday? You really in Urias? Okay, good.
I do. I believe in him as a hitter. Again, the idea of, you know, Hira at second, him at shortstop, the Brewers better hope they get a lot of fly ball pitchers. But, you know, they can both hit. And anytime you can hit, you're a valuable asset to your team.
Kyle, thanks for a couple minutes. You're following maybe the least enthusiastic birthday person of all time. But, hey, to each their own on their birthday. Baseball coming back, it appears. There's a lot of hopefully when we talk about that. The summer camp rosters are out. I know the Brewers officially are going to start working out on July 4th. You do hear of guys popping up with some COVID cases, and you hear now some guys pulling out. Do we expect maybe more names that we haven't heard yet, like Mike Leake's out and Joe Ross is out, Ryan Zimmerman? A very lengthy and informative and really insightful post by Ian Desmond last night. Is it more than you expected, less than you expected? Do we expect more guys to maybe sit this one out?
We do expect more guys to opt out in the coming days. Again, there are players who have health conditions themselves, some of which are public, some of which are not. And you have a lot of players who have talked about just the fact they might have pregnant wives or young kids or kids who might have underlying conditions. And look, we all love baseball, but I don't think anyone thinks that playing is worth endangering the lives of yourself or your immediate family members. So there's a lot of players who are going to continue to make these decisions in the coming days, and we're keeping track of all of them at Baseball America, so keep an eye out for that. But, yeah, no, this first four was just the initial wave. There's going to be more to come, and we'll hear about it, you know, throughout the week and into next week too.
With all of these concerns and how hard it's going to be to – do the testing, and then there's, you know, you can't lick your fingers, you can't spit. It's just like they really don't want this to spread, obviously, but if one of these players in one clubhouse decides to, you know, be a little fast and loose with the rules and then comes into the clubhouse, would it be better off not having a season?
Again, Major League Baseball is putting some really, really, really stringent protocols in place where these guys can't even get into the clubhouse if they register a temperature above 100.4 and or start showing symptoms. The second they arrive at the ballpark, if either of those two things are happening, they're isolated immediately. A lot of this is going to come down to the players and how stringent they are following the rules away from the ballpark. Once they're at the ballpark, I think that's the easy part. It's, you know, telling a bunch of young, single guys with some money, all right, you're not allowed to go out, you can't socialize with anyone, can't go to the bars, can't get together with friends for 2-3 months at a time. That's what's going to be difficult. And it's going to come down to, you know, clubhouse leaders kind of policing it and policing themselves and, you know, players really being devoted to pulling this off. But once they get to the park, I mean, again, that's the easy part, if you will. It's what happens away from the park that has, you know, people concerned and where something can go awry.
Talking with Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, the COVID stuff, I mean, we'll be talking about that for the next month. As far as some of these rules that are being enacted, I'm really curious about the extra inning rule where it starts with a guy on second. This is a rule that right now I don't like. I heard our GM, David Stearns, talk about this on Friday, and he said he's been advocating for this. Like, he loves this rule, and he's been advocating for it. I know myself well enough that as much as I think the rule is stupid now, as soon as I see it, I think it's going to be the coolest thing that I've ever seen. Where do you fall on this guy starts at second rule?
Yeah, so I've seen this rule in place for a while now, covering the minor leagues as well as international baseball, the World Baseball Classic. This rule's in place. I hate it. It cheapens the game. It's not baseball. You know, the reason they're doing this is health reasons, mostly pitcher health. And the reason GMs love it is because they're not worried about their pitchers wearing themselves out and, you know, going a 15, 16, 17 inning game. It's not that it makes for better baseball necessarily. It limits the risk of injuries. Really, the impetus for this is that pitchers are not going to be all the way built up after a shortened 3-week spring training. They're going to see a lot of 3 to 4 inning starts in the opening weeks, and teams really don't want to get into those 14, 15, 16 inning marathons where they potentially run out of pitchers or wear them out. But the thing is, by expanding rosters and adding, again, potentially, you know, you have 4 additional roster spots, we'll see 2, probably 3 of them go to pitchers. You're kind of not really at that risk. You have the extra arms to get you through those extra innings. So I think this is something where, you know, some GMs and MLB official types have been wanting to test this out, and this was a convenient way to do it. But by expanding the rosters, they rendered it completely unnecessary. This is them just doing something they want to try, and, you know, hopefully it doesn't get put into place in future years, because in practice, again, you know, do the games end quicker? Yes, but it absolutely cheapens the wins and losses that come out of it.
I'm approximating the stats here. I saw the stats maybe a couple of weeks ago as we talked with Kyle Glazer, Baseball America. After one inning, there's a winner about 75% of the times with this rule. After two innings, there's about 93% of the time there's a winner. When you've seen the rule in place, when a guy starts on second, what is the more typical outcome? Are teams trying to bunt him over? Does a pitcher try to, you know, does he walk the next guy up right away to set up the double play? How do teams try to maneuver around the situation that they start each inning with for the most part?
Yeah, so typically what you see is the pitcher will intentionally walk the first batter to put runners on first and second, the next hitter up, depending on who it is in the lineup. But a lot of times you'll see them try to bunt, so then you get second, third with one out. I mean, that happens 75% of the time, 80% of the time. I mean, it's pretty formulaic, and, you know, it creates some interesting roster dynamics where all of a sudden teams are going to want to carry a, you know, a bat control guy who could really, really bunt. We see the worst thing that can happen. This, you know, people talk about, oh, strikeouts are okay. This is the one situation where a strikeout is not okay. If you're the first hitter, you know, seeing pitches, whether it's after a guy gets walked or not, the absolute worst thing that can happen is you can strike out in that situation. You've got to move the runners over. That's first and foremost. So I think it'll be interesting to see teams carrying, you know, a bat control, you know, bunt specialist type if this, you know, goes on beyond this season.
One of the things that I'm the most interested in when it comes to how the games are played and how the rosters are constructed is I'm thinking I've got a 60-game season coming up, and if I'm a team that spent a lot of money on an ace, you know, the Gerrit Coles of the world, I'm going to get him 12 games? I'm going to get him 12 games out of a full season? It doesn't really seem worth my while. I wonder if they don't fully stretch these guys out. If you see, and maybe not Cole, maybe he will pitch 7 innings and then rest 5 days, but some of these other starting pitchers, could you see them being used more as just like longer relievers where maybe they start and go 4 innings one day and then maybe 4 days later they go another 3? Or do you think that there will still be that traditional 7-inning starting pitcher if they can get that done?
There will still be the traditional 7-inning starting pitcher. It's just not going to be right away. You're going to see early in the season a lot of what we call piggybacking, where you'll see, you know, a starter come in, pitch innings 1 through 4, and then a second starter come in and pitch innings, you know, 4 through 8. You see that in the minors sometimes, and that's what a lot of teams have talked about doing on this early going as pitchers are still building up. But once you get past the first month of the season, when pitchers should be built up to about where they would normally be, you'll start seeing a lot more, you know, 6-inning, 7-inning starts. It's just going to be the first month. Things are going to be wonky and the starts are going to be shorter.
Who does the shorter season benefit? Does it benefit these powerhouse teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers? Could it benefit a team like Milwaukee? We've already convinced ourselves that, hey, Craig Counsell's good in September. Ryan Braun can be the DH. Brewers, you know, benefits them. Could it benefit a team like the Pirates who, you know, it's only 60 games, so who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, you know, I went back and looked at this for Baseball America, the stories online. Now, I wanted to see what playoff fields would look like after 60 games since the addition of the second wild card in 2012. And to my surprise, what I found is they didn't look that different after 60 games than they do after 162. Between 7 or 8 teams every year are the same. And there's really only 2 or 3 spots that change, you know, from game 60 to game 162. So I think for the most part, the teams we expected to see in the postseason after 162 games will probably still be in the postseason after 60. You know, who that, those other, you know, 2-3 teams that are different are. You know, I think you look at teams with really, really, really deep wells of versatile position players, because there's going to be a lot of soft tissue injuries here the first month or so. We're going to see a lot of hamstrings and groin pulls. And also just having pitching depth, not just, you know, on their major league roster, but down through the minors, they're putting on these player pools, because no team is going to be able to survive this year. Oh, we have 5 starters and 4 or 5 good relievers and 2 others that we, you know, use kind of in blowouts. Like, you're going to need, if you don't have 8 to 9 respectable starters and, you know, 10 to 12 respectable bullpen arms you can go get, this is going to be a difficult season for you. So I really look for that pitching depth and also kind of the depth and youth of a position player group.
Kyle Glazer joining us, Baseball America. You know what I was sort of surprised about was that there's still going to be, like, trades. I would just say don't do trades. Trade deadline's going to be after 30 days. I don't know how you send a guy and get prospects back that you can't even watch in the minor leagues, most likely. And then you're taking a guy from one environment where you're trying to, like, really stress, don't get COVID. And then now he's got to move and get into a new environment. Even if there is a trade deadline, I don't see a lot of trades this year.
Nothing you said is wrong. Again, there are a lot of people who have raised the ethical questions of, are we really going to send guys across the country and uproot their lives in the middle of a pandemic? Like, there's some real ethical considerations there. And you know, regarding, you know, trades to upgrade your team, when you only have a month to really evaluate your squad, unless there's been a ton of injuries or there's something really glaring, and odds are if it's really glaring on August 21st, it was really glaring when the season opened too. You know, it's hard to really assess, okay, this is a trade we should or shouldn't make. And the other complicating factor is you're only allowed to trade players that are on your initial 60-man player pool. Well, a lot of teams are only carrying, you know, if they're carrying many prospects at all, anywhere from their top 3 prospects to their top 10. Teams have been very, very wary of trading high-ranked prospects in their systems the last couple of years. It's been a lot of trades of low-level guys who are ranked numbers, you know, 19 and 24 in their systems. Well, you can't trade those guys this year because they're not on the 60-man player pools. So I think just the restrictions on who can actually be traded alone means we probably won't see many trades unless teams suddenly decide they're willing to start trading their top prospects in a short season, which I don't think we're going to see.
I look at baseball and how this summer played out, and it was a lot of talk about the finances, and we didn't really consider the coronavirus portion of it until a bunch of guys at these spring training facilities tested positive for it. Most of the baseball conversation has been, are the players wrong? Are the owners wrong? But now, because they have this agreement, or at least because they enacted a 60-game schedule, if the 2020 season doesn't happen, we'll remember it as, well, it was coronavirus. So they basically took 3 months of bad PR and were able to push it under the bed. However, the fight still looms in 2021. There's still the CBA that's coming up. And this was a very, very messy, just to get a 60-game schedule here, which really they didn't even agree to. How messy is it going to be after this season, do you think?
It was always going to be messy, the 2021 CBA discussions and negotiations. There's just a very, very, very deep lack of trust between the players and the owners and the league in general. The players got soundly beaten in the last round of CBA negotiations. They're determined not to let that happen again. And we saw, I think, again, we knew these were going to be difficult financial discussions this year, and the health and safety protocols, while they weren't being talked about publicly during the fight over money, both sides were talking about them. They were first and foremost on a lot of the minds of the key people involved. It's going to be ugly, and I think you just hope that, look, a lot can change in 18 months, and we have to see where the country is in 18 months, where the game is in 18 months, and hopefully they're able to come to a new agreement without any kind of strike or lockout. But there's no question the relationship between the sides is not good, and a lot has to happen for things to go anywhere near smoothly 18 months from now.
Kyle, appreciate your time. We will be sure to do it again. Baseball America is where you can find Kyle's work and much, much more. And thank you, as always, and be safe.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, and stay safe as well.
Kyle Glazer joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter, Kyle A. Glazer. Great Midwest Bank, has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. We'll have our Bucks recap coming up. I want to do something jovial and wacky. I want to do something that will just blow your socks off. I want to take a survey. Are you ready to take a survey, Horvat?
Yeah. Do I get paid? Like, remember back in the day, you'd take those surveys and you get some money out of it?
Back in the day, I do that now.
You ever walk around in the mall and, like, have some old lady come bother you to go take some stupid survey?
No, I think that's not. I think that's something way different.
But they do those.
In the mall still?
I actually never did it. No, I mean, growing up, they did. I don't know if they still. Yeah, I think they still do that.
No, if I'm bored, I'll do little surveys and get Amazon gift cards online.
How much money?
Sure.
How much money you get around? 20 bucks?
Oh, I would think in 4 years I've made $128. Is that worth it? What's the hourly rate on that?
I don't know.
All right, The Athletic, and we'll do the survey here, and then we'll catch up with it once they post it. They want to know how fans feel about baseball. It's a real quick survey, so I'm going to put my favorite team is the Brewers. Who are you the most upset with over baseball's labor strife, players or owners?
Owners.
Oh, of course. Those that listen to the show know that. How confident are you in Rob Manfred? Very, somewhat, not very, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all is what I'm going to put as well. How have the last several months affected your fandom? I like baseball more, somewhat more. Feelings haven't changed. I like baseball less. I like baseball a lot less.
I go less, not a lot less, because I still do respect the players. I think that, I think the game right now could be better than ever if they marketed the players the right way. I just think there's so much young talent. I don't hate baseball, but I do appreciate it less. I do like it less because it was just, this is 3 months of this crap. Are they coming back? Are they not coming back? Like, we could be playing games starting, in like a day or two.
Yeah, if the initial agreement was,
you know what
under,
I mean? We should be watching baseball regardless if there isn't a pandemic. But if everything, if these guys just got their stuff together, again, there's a lot of people.
This would be opening weekend.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, less. I like it less.
How would you characterize your feelings about baseball right now? I would say,
I want it to come back. I don't think it's
they gone. Are self-inflicting wounds.
Yeah.
Ruining a good thing. Under what conditions would you consider attending a major league game in person? Right now, no restrictions. At limited capacity with social distancing, or not until there's a vaccine?
Limited people.
Well, I'm more of a weakling. So.
I don't think I'll wait till the vaccine. That could be, I don't know. Dr. Fauci said it by the end of the year, right? So,
would a World Series championship this year be legitimate?
In baseball, in basketball, like I said, I think it'll be tougher than ever to win a championship. So I would actually put a double star.
Dave Dufour, our friend, said there shouldn't be an asterisk. There should be an exclamation point.
Agree. With NBA. With baseball, I do think there's a bit of an asterisk, though. A 60-game season. Again, it's 60 games last year. The Nationals aren't even in the postseason. They won the damn thing.
Yeah, but they're all going through the same thing. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Are you in favor of a universal DH, yes or no? I just don't care anymore.
I know. You know what? No, that's always been my argument. I hate the universal DH. I like the pitcher batting in the National League. But if you know what? Just give me any baseball back. I'm fine with it. I don't even care at this point.
Do you like the extra inning rule that puts a guy at second base?
Hate it.
No.
Hate it.
Do you want expanded playoffs?
No.
No. How concerned are you about not having minor league baseball this season? I'm very concerned.
Very concerned. Yeah, that's a lot of people that are out of work. Also, the product of baseball sucks without minor leagues. We brought it up. Like, what if, what if you're just figuring it all out right now? You're not even using a wooden bat until. What if you played collegiate baseball?
What if you got drafted? Where the hell are you going?
You were just using an aluminum.
What are you doing?
Bat. Right. Maybe you never played in a wooden bat league. You're trying to figure out how to hit right now.
What are you doing if you got drafted?
Maybe you're working on another pitch. Right.
Wait.
Yeah.
Honestly. Do you go play for the Milkmen?
Also, just like...
Do you play for the Lacrosse Loggers? Where the hell you go?
Right, and just think of it like, selfishly, radio broadcasters. A lot of great broadcasters. Joe Davis, who does Dodger games, took over for Vin Scully. He started off in the minor leagues. Most of us do.
Brian Anderson. Baseball in San Antonio for 7 years.
I called a couple games for the Des Moines Cubs. Great times. I do worry about minor league baseball.
What affiliation are the Des Moines Cubs?
It's a great product. Oh, I don't even remember.
remember. Single A?
No. They're triple.
The Iowa Cubs?
Double A.
Double A.
I believe. Double A, yeah. It changes like every year, don't it?
No. If you did an Iowa Cubs, that's a big deal. That's triple A baseball.
Yeah, I did two games for fill-in when the dude.
But are the Iowa Cubs the same as the Des Moines Cubs, or are you just confusing?
No, the Iowa Cubs are in Des Moines. They're the Iowa Cubs.
And you call them the Des Moines Cubs?
Yeah, because they were in Des Moines. My bad.
Okay, so you've done games
Principal
for triple A.
Yeah, Principal Park.
You've done triple A baseball play-by-play.
Two games.
Wow.
Principal Park.
On the radio?
On the radio.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But, like, it sucked kind of because the year before is when all the Cubs that ended up getting called up were on the team. So it was, like, Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Anderson Russell. Like, all those guys that ended up winning a World Series and becoming superstars. When I was there, like, Jorge Soler went down for a game, so that was kind of cool. He hit 40 bombs last year for the Royals. But, yeah. I do worry about minor league baseball. Also, it's cool. Like, you know, when I go on vacation with my family sometimes, when we would go to, like, Florida, we would go check out a minor league game. It's cheap. It's always, like, dollar beer night, dollar hot dog night. I worry about minor league baseball.
Yeah, I do, too. Very concerned. Regarding fantasy baseball, I don't usually play, but I will. I don't usually play, and I won't. I usually play, and I won't. I usually play, and I will. Well, I am in a league, but as I told you yesterday, a lot of my guys have backed out, so I'm still mad about that.
We're doing a league.
With the station?
And we're going to talk about it tomorrow. I got a guest, Derek Carty. He does stuff for RotoWire, Roto Grinders. He also works for ESPN. He does ESPN Fantasy. He does football, too. He's going to join us tomorrow at 9:30, and we're going to figure out the best way to do this. Do we just do, you know, DraftKings every single day, or maybe we could put together a league with eight of us? I think we had confirmed eight yesterday.
Well, we forgot Tim Allen.
Does he do fantasy baseball? Yeah, he'll do fantasy baseball.
He would probably do it too. So even if we just did a roto league, we don't have to do head to head.
Right.
Just do roto.
I'll do roto.
How likely are you to watch your favorite team's game on TV? Very likely.
Every game. I'll be there.
How many of the 60 game season games do you plan on watching?
60.
All 60.
Yeah. 62.
We hate baseball, but we're watching it every day.
I mean, yeah.
Are you likely to watch a national broadcast that doesn't involve your team? Yes, we gamble.
Yeah, I'll watch.
What's the ideal number of games in a season? 162, 154, 120, 100?
162 for me. I'm a traditionalist. I like the 162.
I'm going to go 154 because I would like to see a balanced schedule, and that's a way you can get it there.
Even 163 is always good, too.
Are baseball games too long? Yes or no? No.
You know what? It depends. Yeah, some games are a little bit too long. I like being at the ballpark for 4 or 5 hours, though. If I'm going to spend $100 for a ticket, I want to be there as long as possible.
What do you think about the changes in the style of play over the last several years?
It's stupid. It doesn't even, did the games go by quicker? I was still at a 19-inning game last year for 7.5 hours for work purposes.
I'm going to say somewhat negative. Now, I'm not like, ban the shift, but what happens, everyone does the same thing. David Stearns isn't like, oh, he's a genius, because all the GMs, except for two or three idiots, are David Stearns.
I'm annoyed that there's sports talk show hosts out there that still don't know what the shift is. I hate I hate having to explain the shift to grown men. What? I am, though, man. Like, have you guys never played baseball in your life?
Ban the shift! Ban where a guy can stand?
You don't know who's playing second.
In the outfield?
Leave the biz, please. I like the shift.
How can Mike Moustakas be third and then he's like halfway in right field?
Exactly.
It's called the shift.
Yeah. It's only been around for... No, I'm not going to be a smartass anymore. I don't know. I like the... I don't know, man. Every year, like, hearing people argue about launch angle and... I mean, it's all the same stuff. It's always been.
I'm going to go somewhat negative just because...
Game is better now than it's ever been.
Nah, I don't know about that. Everyone does the same thing. Nobody's different anymore.
Well, actually, I would argue the game sucks now. No stolen bases anymore. Everybody just swings for power. You could go one for your last 12 and you had like a successful homestand. As long as you homer
so
once.
So what is it? Is it the game's better now than it's ever been, or the game sucks more than ever?
No.
You said the same thing.
The young talent, especially, better than it's ever been, in my opinion. Now, they don't market the players the same way they used to, so there is no Ken Griffey Jr. There is no Barry Bonds. But, you know, Mike Trout, Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger, there's so much young talent that we, like, forget about some of these guys in smaller markets. So I would say that the players are better than ever. stronger than ever, just like the NBA, but the product, right, sucks. I miss stolen bags. I miss pitchers throwing 8-9 innings. I miss complete games.
How interesting do you find MLB's regular season? Very somewhat not.
Somewhat.
How interesting do you find the postseason? Very somewhat not.
Very. Just like the hockey postseason.
What one change would you most like to see in baseball?
One change I'd like to see in baseball. Maybe a salary cap.
I already wrote boobs.
More boobs.
Submit. All right. So when they collect all the answers, we will have that for you at a 9:20 segment to be determined to pay off those of you that heard us take the survey. You will then hear us read the survey. That's
dope.
One of the tricks in the radio business is have a payoff when you do a segment of any kind. We're going to play a little cameo as long as Heffelfinger is good with it. Evan Heffelfinger versus Ryan Horvath. You guys haven't faced each other in weeks, it feels like. Sam Schmitz has been running roughshod over this game.
Yeah.
Undefeated at 3-0. Mayor Mitch even came in last week, thought that this game was going to be easy, got embarrassed. So we've got the two.
Got his ass kicked.
The two most. I mean, Sam is the pro now. He's undefeated. But we've got the two, I would say, heavyweight challengers of the world back with the cameo challenge. That and a Bucks recap coming up next. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. At least 16 states are putting reopening plans in reverse with coronavirus cases on the rise. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey's ordered bars, gyms, movie theaters, and water parks to close.
We want to slow the spread of this. We want to stop the spread. If you have not gotten this yet, you can avoid it.
Beaches are shutting down in Los Angeles and South Florida.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Jacksonville is among the latest Florida areas to institute face mask orders for anyone in public locations when social distancing is not possible. One big question is what it means for the Republican convention, which was moved there from Charlotte because of that city's rules. President Trump and his campaign have made it clear they want a crowded convention hall, no masks, no social distancing.
Kansas and Oregon also mandating face masks in public. Christine Hilmer with Wisconsin's Restaurant Association says customers have to do their part.
There's a responsibility on the restaurant side to help put everything in place to try to keep people safe and so on. But it's also incumbent on consumers when they go to a bar or restaurant is they have to follow the rules too.
We've just gotten word the European Union is reopening borders to 14 countries. The U.S. is not among them. Chinese travelers will be allowed if it's reciprocal. There may be a new health danger from Asia.
The scientists say about 10% of swine industry workers they tested in China have already been exposed to the virus, which they say is descended from the 2009 strain of swine flu, which caused the first global flu pandemic in 40 years. And there are signs that the virus is becoming more infectious. The scientists say there's no immediate threat, but that the virus and its human hosts need to be closely monitored to keep it that way. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Husband and wife lawyers from St. Louis who aimed an AR-15 and what looked like a pistol at a crowd of racial justice protesters on their street are now under investigation for possible criminal charges. Mark McCloskey is speaking out.
I was terrified that we'd be murdered within seconds, that our house would be burned down, that our pets would be killed.
The IRS is sticking with a mid-July deadline. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
The Treasury Department and the IRS say you can also file for an automatic extension through October 15th. The original tax deadline was pushed back 3 months because of the coronavirus outbreak. Now the IRS says it understands those affected may not be able to pay their balances in full by July 15th, so it has set up payment options.
Drink up! New study published in JAMA Network links moderate amounts of alcohol consumption with better cognitive function. This is CBS News.
The Bart Winkler Morning Show.
Zach Gelb, CBS Sports Radio at night, who Ryan Horvath was trying to take his job, and suddenly now you guys are like, you're like his go-to guest to book.
Isn't that funny, Bart, that Ryan, he played this tough guy act, and he tried to bash me on Twitter, and the next thing, he gets into my DMs. You know, I'm a real big fan. I love the show. You know, our listeners can just be a little bit crazy and they sometimes take it too far, and it's all a radio joke.
I thought we were going to, like, extend it out for a year. When Scott Farrell was on CBS, those dudes, like, hated me.
I got a big fat elbow for your face, Henry Winkler.
I'll tell you, Scott is one of the, and I know that's a great exchange,
but one of the nicer guys that I've actually met in the business. I'm a big fan.
Well, I think he sucks.
It's the Bart Winkler Morning Show. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM. The Fan, a radio.com sports station.
Giannis, how about that? What an unbelievable play.
The countdown to the Bucks' return back to the championship.
Our Bucks recap series continues, taking you through the season, how the Bucks got to 53-12. We joined them at the turn of the new year. 2020 wasn't so bad on January 4th. If we only knew. The night of the 4th, it was a good Saturday night. Bucks win over the Spurs 127-118. Now, the Spurs did keep Giannis in check for the first half, but he went on fire in the third quarter, had 19 of his game-high 32 points in the third quarter, and was big from the free throw line. Made all 12 of his free throw attempts in the second half. At the line, he was 15 of 18, close to his nightly goal of 25 trips to the stripe.
I'm going to go to the free throw line, try to go 25 times. Doesn't really matter if they're going in or not going in. I'm just going to trust my technique. I saw that whenever I was getting in the paint, they would try to, you know, reach and foul and push me and all that. I was like, okay, this might be the night, you know, and I was trying to drive the ball in the paint and just make a play for myself or make a play for my teammate.
Now, as we've learned, there's a very clear way to beat the Bucks, and that is, well, Lonnie Walker figured it out.
Lonnie Walker hits the three. The 16 of 30 for San Antonio.
As did the rest of the Spurs, shooting 54% from three for the game, 19 of 35 total. The Bucks won that first round 127-118. They lose to San Antonio 126-104. So two games against the Spurs back-to-back. They split the Bucks at this point 32-6. Bart, back to me.
Oh, thank you, Bart. Really good stuff, too. Well produced.
The music's the best part. I feel like I'm in a 75 porn film.
Yeah, well, it's from the 70s, a little green and growing.
Where the guys, you know what, has sideburns.
I'm Bart Winkler. That's Ryan Horvat. Evan Heffelfinger. Heffy, good to see you.
I feel like I'm watching Anchorman right now.
Oh, with the music?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does got that Anchorman tune to it.
Yeah.
You missed a really good radio this morning.
Schlesinger was on.
Well, before
Wait,
that.
Really?
Before that.
Like the Brewers CFO.
Well, cuts.
Well, yeah.
Oh.
You missed it.
Whoa.
You missed it. Hey, Mark's going to be okay.
Hey,
he might lose a couple bucks, but he's going to be all right.
You want to know the best thing about that? I made those cuts.
Thank you, Evan.
You're welcome.
Hey, you did a great job. Man.
You did a great job.
Some guys, they cut it a little too soon, and I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know Mark's going to be okay? He's a billionaire that he'll still be a billionaire even after the pandemic.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought that I was told that all these billionaire owners were poor.
No, they'll be okay.
Oh.
Contrary to popular belief, this is actually a hobby for most of them. They have real businesses.
Wow, that's some good news.
The players, though, that aren't getting paid, yeah, they don't have other businesses. This is what they do for a living.
Yeah, so Brent Suter, he's still going to be a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, he's not a billionaire.
He's not?
No.
Oh.
Just a player.
No.
So why'd they make him take a cut?
You guys stick to sports in here already? My God.
Sorry.
I'm trying to get a distraction from the world.
You're right. Evan, you get one first baseman in MLB history to bat third for your lineup. Who do you take?
Albert Pujols.
Logan Morrison.
Yes, the only thing preventing Logan Morrison from hitting 40 bombs is COVID-19. Hashtag people forget.
Before we played the cuts of Rick Schlesinger that you made,
Schlesinger.
Okay.
I opened up mail live on the program.
Nice.
And it was the mail I got from the Green Bay Packers, where I get to, as an owner, you get to vote every year on who should be on the board of directors.
Okay.
Now, what normally happens, I'll spill the tea a little bit, is that everyone gets voted on that the board wants on. And they say, here are the 18 people up. Check yes if you want them all. And if there's anyone you don't want, check this box and then write their name here. And the line is so small. So they don't expect guys like me to do the research. They just think, oh, I'm so happy to be an owner that I'll pretend like I'm a part of this democracy and I'll mail my ballot back in. But no, sir, I did the research. So there are a few guys that I voted against to be a member of the Green Bay Packers board.
And those people are the following. Larry McCarron, you're out.
Really?
I don't want him on the board.
Is it his pinky?
If he gets out, I get his job. He's gone. John Zukowski. Who's that? Well, he's a circuit county judge. I don't want sports and my politics to mix.
Right.
Get him off the board. And then Mark Murphy. Don't you dare take my vote for granted, Mark. And I know you had something to do with drafting Jordan Love. And I don't like that pick. So you're off too. So I voted against those three people. And you missed it because it was live.
Well, I can go back and listen on the freeradio.com app.
You can.
With maybe. The rewind feature, too.
Not so fast.
Is that down?
I think so. Cameo challenge. I bought Horvat coffee today, so.
You did.
If Horvat wins.
I got him cream and sugar, though.
If Horvat wins, he gets no money. And Evan, if you win, I'll send you $2.
Okay. All right.
Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Cameo challenge, where there is a website where we take celebrities that are on the website Cameo. Now, they'll send a recorded message for you at a price. And one of the guys that is on there is Aubrey Huff. And so Aubrey Huff, I listened to his yesterday. Aubrey Huff's a very outspoken former baseball player, very anti-mask. But I listened to his cameo, and he's kind of the cameo. Aubrey Huff is like a decent dude. He's just a funny guy. Here's a little bit of former baseball player Aubrey Huff's cameo.
Dave, hey, buddy. I don't know quite how to say this, but you know, Casey and Tyler basically think you're a bitch. Oh, man, sounds like you have some fun friends, man. I would love to hang out with you guys and talk some That's what the world needs more of right now in this crazy divided times is people that, although they may not share the same beliefs or values or religion or whether you're liberal or Democrat, but can laugh at each other. And I always tell my boys this, they're 11 and 9, if you can't make fun of yourself, then who can you make fun of?
How about that? Aubrey Huff seems like a decent guy there. No comments. Okay. He is the first one that we have up. Horvat, this one goes for you. Okay. Who costs more on Cameo? Aubrey Huff or John Taffer from Bar Rescue? And again, you will each get 6 questions. The winner wins. And if you're tied after 6 rounds, we will go to a tiebreaker where you have to guess how much somebody cost. That person today is Ryan Lochte. So will we get there or not? We'll find out. Don't look it up.
I love John Taffer.
John Taffer, Horvat, or Aubrey Huff?
Gotta be John Taffer. Guy's the legend, the GOAT. Love Bar Rescue. Don't watch so much of it now because I feel like it's on 24/7, but it's a great show. I'll go John Taffer.
See, the thing with Aubrey Huff is he could take the Clay Travis route. Find a group of people that are willing to pay him a lot of money for telling them what they want to hear. And in this case, Aubrey Huff charges $100. But I will say for Aubrey Huff, that I played you was just a portion. He did about a 3-minute cameo. I'd almost say it's worth it. Jeff Janis for $20 only gave me 20 seconds. Aubrey Huff cost $100. John Taffer cost $150. So Ryan Horvat, you do start the day on top. Congratulations to you. That's a 1-0 lead.
Nice.
Evan, who costs more? Current NFL backup quarterback Mason Rudolph or your boy, Broncos and Cardinals legend Jake Plummer?
That is my boy. I'm kind of scared that you knew that. I'm going to go Jake Plummer because he at least like had a good time starting, and I really don't like Mason Rudolph.
I love Jake Plummer.
So you're going to go with your heart and not your head?
Yes. Mm. For this one. You know, I'm still waking up. I have to rely on my heart because my head isn't all there
yet. 9:45 in the morning.
I'm still waking up.
You should have gone with your head. Jake Plummer cost $55 on Cameo, and Mason Rudolph cost $95.
Jesus.
Really? Horvat, I got one for you.
All right.
I don't know if you watched Raw last night. I don't want to spoil it.
It was awful.
I only made it until about 9 o'clock because Angel Garza, for some reason, is on four different segments by the third hour.
Yeah.
R-Truth beat Akira Tozawa to win the 24/7 championship.
Yikes.
He's on Cameo.
R-Truth or the dude that he beat?
R-Truth.
Okay.
Who costs more? Wrestler R-Truth or new SmackDown wrestler Matt Riddle? Who costs more on Cameo?
Matt Riddle. Already in some trouble. Probably I'm going to go with Matt Riddle because he was pretty solid in the UFC. Didn't want to give up smoking marijuana, so Dana kicked him out of the UFC. Now he's in WWE. Give me Matt Riddle.
Bro. Matt Riddle is $120.
Bro.
And R-Truth.
Hey, he does have the rap career too, R-Truth.
Is $150.
What's up? People over here, what's up?
Evan Heffelfinger, you are down 1-0. Cameo challenge. Who costs more? Meta World Peace, who I believe is changing his name again. I think it's Meta Artest.
I like that. A little mixture of both.
Yeah, Ron Artest.
Favorite story real quick about Ron Artest is the Bulls drafted him, and they signed him for like $8 million or whatever he made as a rookie, and he went and tried to get a job at Best Buy so he could get 15% off his stereo equipment, and the Bulls had to like call him into the office and be like, dude, you're rich now. You can't go work at Best Buy. Thought that was always a good story.
Well, I disagree. You should always have a backup career.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
You should always have a fallback. Andy Kaufman, at the height of his comedic fame, worked one day a week at a restaurant just in case it didn't work out for him. He had something to fall back on.
Yeah, Heffelfinger works at Menards.
Home Depot. How dare you?
Sorry. Do you guys have beef? Like, is there like a big rivalry?
In the management, yes, but we could not care less.
Is it like Anchorman?
We send people to Lowe's.
As Home Depot associates?
Yeah. I shouldn't be. Well, like, because they'll be
you're
like.
You're the worst Home Depot
all right,
employee.
Hold on.
Of all,
let me explain.
How are we
myself?
Not to know that as bad as you are at Home Depot, you don't do the same thing here?
Let me explain myself. So sometimes we get these bad customers that come in and they're like, oh, well, I can get this 30 cents cheaper at Lowe's unless you work with me. And I'm like, okay, I don't care. Goodbye. Go.
Oh, I guess I do the same thing.
Do people come in and try to price match? Oh. I used to hate working
retail.
Well,
that's the thing is, Home Depot does price match, but it's like, for some items, it's completely different from other stores, and they'll try to say that it's damaged or something to get money off, and then they'll say like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go drive to the Menards that's 30 minutes away.
I'm like, cool.
It's like, okay, cool. Go spend that exact amount of money in gas.
I used to hate that.
I don't care.
When I worked at Dick's Sporting Goods, they'd be like, well, I saw these Nikes for $3 off at MC Sports. And I'd be like, okay, well, go to MC Sports. It's
I do not get paid.
MC Sports, that's not wrong.
I don't know. I used to buy my baseball bats there from Randy Rodagero. Another name drop for you.
So Meta World Peace.
Sorry, I'm distracted. We lost Bob Weaver today as a listener.
I don't know what we did to upset him. Was it my Aaron Rodgers as a top five quarterback take or that players were also human beings?
Huh? Meta World Peace or LeVar Ball? Who costs more on Cameo?
Oh, man.
Who costs more to get a video message of? LeVar Ball or Meta World Peace?
The battle of the two egos.
I'll tell you who I'd rather have one.
Yeah. I'm going to go LeVar.
You think he costs more?
Yeah.
LeVar Ball, a cool 133.
Not
that big
bad.
Baller money.
Meta World Peace, $500.
Yep.
For Ron Artest. Horvat, this one's for you.
Oh, okay.
Who costs more? You're up 1-0 right now. Ghostface Killah.
My favorite rapper of all time.
Of the Wu-Tang Clan.
I know who the hell he is.
Or Flavor Flav, formerly of Public Enemy before he got canned.
Well, like, Ghostface has always been underground. He doesn't need the mainstream.
Ghostface, by the way, new to Cameo within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I have that piece of information because just so you guys know, if you do want to get me a birthday present like how I got you, I look at Ghostface Killah the way you look at Jeff Janis. He's my favorite member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Janis!
But he doesn't really, he doesn't need the exposure and the fame like Flava Flav, who's been on VH1 on like 14 different reality shows. Give me Flava, Flava Flav! What's Ghostface, like $10?
$200. I ain't spending that on you.
For Ghostface, that's okay. How much is Flavor Flav?
$250.
Tossing and flossing, my style is awesome.
So that is two for Horvat.
It's two thus far, shooter.
Heffelfinger, zero for you. This one is for you. Who costs more, Bucks legend Michael Carter Williams, or Lakers great Smush Parker?
Smush. Isn't that who...
Some legendary beef with Kobe.
Yeah.
Who cost more?
I was trying to think of who Iverson stepped over, but that was Tyronn Lue, who's a better head coach than Brad Stevens.
He is. People forget.
That's a pretty good topic. You guys should lead off the show with that tomorrow. I would listen.
Okay.
But I'm going to go...
Deal.
I'm going to go with... There I'm distracted go. Now. I forgot.
Yeah. Smush Parker or MCW?
I'm going to go Michael Carter-Williams because he's still an NBA legend.
Evan, still scoreless.
Why do they even show up this morning?
MCW costs you $50 for that and five more. You'll get smush. $55.
You'll get smushed.
This is from Curb Your Enthusiasm, Horvat. Who costs more? The actress that plays Susie Essman is her real name.
Yeah.
Or the actress that plays Cheryl. Cheryl Hines is her real name.
Cheryl costs more.
Why so confident?
I don't know.
Cheryl Hines only cost you $125. She plays Larry David's ex-wife.
Love her, though.
And Susie Essman costs $425.
I didn't like how they got divorced.
That was spoilers. I'm only on, like, season four.
Oh.
But no, I heard about it. Cheryl was in a show called Suburgatory that was on ABC. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh, boy, that was on for, like, a day.
It was, like, a couple seasons. I liked it because I had a crush on Jane Levy.
Jane Levy?
I don't even know that guy in Google ad. Levy. Who the hell is Jane Levy?
Is she worth Googling?
Yes.
Yeah, she's cute. I mean, I don't know. What else is she on?
I don't know.
I am the one that
Jane
has
Jane Levy's like 100.
No, she's 30. She looks old, though, don't she?
This is a different one.
Yeah, you're probably looking at the wrong person.
Oh, Jane Levy.
All right, this feels like a 10 p.m. Google search.
Okay.
All right, Evan, who costs more? You're down 2-0. You don't need this one to win, but it's very close.
Blew. Just got to chill.
Phil Simms. Or a guy who said football's behind him. Said it this week, Johnny Manziel. Who costs more?
Johnny Football.
Well, Phil Simms has that CBS money. He doesn't necessarily need to do it.
How's that ego, though? He got demoted from Romo's job, and then people love Romo.
I like Romo a lot. But that's the thing is Phil Simms is also Chris Simms' dad.
That's so true. That people probably, forget.
That probably adds to his
Did you
fame.
Know that Miles Sanders backed up Saquon Barkley at Penn State?
Wow.
People forget about that. And Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw actually grew up together.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought I heard something about like Jimmy Graham being a tight end too.
Do you know Dave Grohl was the drummer in Nirvana?
Nuh-uh.
No, stop it. Stop.
Phil Simms or Johnny Manziel?
I'm going Money Manziel. He needs the money.
Phil Simms for 111. So he does that thing athletes do where they do 100 plus their jersey number, 11. So he's 111. Johnny Manziel, $250.
I love Johnny Manziel. Don't care what anybody says.
Horvat.
Yeah.
You're up 2-1.
Yep.
Who costs more? Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh.
Or John Starks.
Yeah, I'm going to go Dikembe Mutombo here. Starks probably needs the money more because Mutombo made the money, but Mutombo's doing some really bad endorsements, but we see him popping up a little bit more where I think John Starks is just content with whatever it is he's doing with his life.
Yeah, if you're doing ads for Subway right now.
Yeah. Yeah, at least go Jimmy John's. Just kidding. Is Subway a sponsor of ours? I love Subway too. Give me Dikembe.
Give me whatever Subway sandwich shop is a sponsor.
It's all the same, man.
Subway's got $5 footlongs again when you buy two this week.
How much is John Starks so charging?
$103.
How much is Dikembe charging?
$100.
Huh. All right.
Evan, you're down 2-1. Who costs more? Which of these legends in their sport, great on the field / court, and then great in their secondary careers with the sport? NFL great Mike Ditka. NBA legend, the logo, Jerry West. Who costs more?
Ditka's so overrated.
But it's going to be Ditka because Jerry West is kind of out of the public eye in the front office.
Yeah, who wants to hear from Jerry West?
And what has Ditka been up to recently? Is he still on that like ESPN Monday Night Countdown or whatever?
Probably.
I'm going Ditka.
Jerry West costs $444.
Jeez.
Mike Ditka cost $500. We're tied at two.
Mike Ditka was really good in kicking and screaming.
Horvat, who cost more? John Daly or Sergio Garcia? One a former golfer.
Yeah. I mean, John Daly seems so obvious right here.
One current.
I got to take Sergio Garcia because who the hell doesn't want a birthday wish from Daly? I'd like to have a Marlboro Red with him and maybe a High Life. Maybe a brownie.
So who are you taking?
Yeah, I'll go Sergio. That's a trick one. You got me. You guys got me.
Sergio costs $375. John Daly is double that at $750. The Cameo Challenge, Tuesdays around this time. Score is tied 2-2. If Evan gets this one, he wins. If not, we go to the tiebreaker. Two Bucks legends from the 70s. Bucks won a title in 71.
People forget.
People do forget. Who costs more, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or new to Cameo, Oscar Robertson?
I feel like we've had Kareem before, right?
I think we've had all of these guys before.
That's fair.
I think I've done Johnny Manziel 7 times.
I could see Oscar charging something like $1,000 just because he doesn't know what it is.
Ooh, but I could... Oscar Robertson slam.
Well, No, I'm just saying because he's new to Cameo, like you said. We've seen people across the history of this show change their price from week to week. So the fact that he's new, he may not know like the pricing structure. But Kareem, I remember, I think he had a pretty expensive one. But I'm going to go Oscar.
Kareem is $500, and Oscar Robertson is $301.
Jeez.
Breaking news on the fan, the Rocky signed Matt Kemp.
Yeah, Matt Kemp is a Rocky now, by the way, because he was in the minors, so he's just going to replace...
Ian Desmond.
Thank you, Ian Desmond.
All right, we got about a minute. This is for the win.
Let's do it.
Can you guys Facebook me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
You can go over closest one. How much does swimming legend Ryan Lochte cost? Swimming legend Ryan Lochte. How much does Ryan Lochte cost on Cameo? What's the word he made up with? Ja or something? Or
I don't know.
I don't know. Did you watch his reality show on VH1 a few years ago?
No, I've heard some interviews with him, and he just doesn't seem all there.
Yeah, I'm Team Phelps.
Oh, 100%.
Closest without, you can go over. Ryan Horvath says 350. Evan says 420.
Nice.
Because it's Ryan Lochte.
He only costs 125 bucks. Horvath, you are the champ.
Back on top. Thank God. I've been getting my ass kicked in trivia, so it's good to get a dub under my belt. I'd like to thank Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, head of operations, Radio Joe Zanzola, the fishing guys, and yourself, Bart Winkler.
What that means is you don't owe me for the rest of the cup of coffee I bought you today.
Yeah, and I got cream and sugar on it on accident. He likes his coffee black.
So I do.
I screwed up.
I do.
Damn it.
Although it was pretty good.
All right, I'm going to go home. Big day. Going to play some Rory McIlroy 2014, I think, for Xbox.
All right, fun.
A couple beverages, maybe.
Soccer game on at 2.
Got money on it. Mm. Lazio, I think, L-A-Z-I-O, money line. Let's hammer it. Let's bring it home.
There's a NWSL soccer game at 12:30. I'm going to watch on CBS All Access.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet that.
The announcers on it are brutal. I watched some of the game on CBS on Saturday.
Mute it and do your own play-by-play. I want to hear.
I think I will. Evan, thank you. Horvath, thank you. Bill Michaels up next, 10 to 2 on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.